Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Change happens. Change happens all the time. I've heard this from people in business, in my life, and in songs for years. I mean, I bet you have too. And sometimes change happens to us, and maybe from external events and or some internal stuff. I mean, I don't know. But we have to learn to roll with the punches. That's the other thing. Change happens, so roll with the punches, so to speak. And I don't know if that's always easy for people to do. There are times with change where we have an unexpected invitation to a new reality, a new future. And, you know, one day you show up at work and you're told that your services are no longer needed. I know that happened to me years ago and some 14 years ago, and it meant some changes. And you're told that there is no place for you here any longer. And in shock, you're shown the door. And the next Monday comes around, next Monday morning, you have nowhere to go. It's a start over. You know, I've experienced, like I mentioned, that about 14 years ago, and I went through some things on that. I had to learn some new things about myself in order to move on. Recently, as little as 30 days ago, I had a business friend of mine actually go through that. He had that same experience and suddenly had nowhere to go on Monday morning. And fortunately, he received the package that provided him outplacement services with the career counselor. So that actually helped him out a little bit. And he's working through his next move, thinking through it. In the end, it always works out. You know, that's the interesting thing, but it takes time. And for some people, they don't really have a place to go, but they need to take the time to actually move forward. And maybe they have to have some foresight. And, you know, I don't know, but here's the thing. If you are in transition, the best advice I ever received was to take time for that transition. You only have one life to live, so get out there and live it. So my guest today is a person who I admire and respect, and I've always had a great time chatting with. It's Art Alexander. Now, I'm going to get Art to tell you a little bit about himself, and you've probably heard him on the show before or other shows, but he is known within our business community. Art, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. It's great to be here.
It's always great to have you on, Art. You know, so I understand you have a joke for me.
I have a joke. My dad, who's 86 years old, he's out fishing, as the story goes, as he tells me. He's out fishing. He's fishing on the East Coast, and he hears us on the grass. He says, "Pick me up, pick me up." Looks around, can't see anything. He keeps fishing and fishing, and he hears, "Pick me up, pick me up." Looks down, there's a green frog. He reaches down and picks up the frog, and the frog says, "Kiss me, and I'll become your beautiful bride." Now, my dad's 85. He says to the frog, "I don't need a bride, but I need a talking frog," and he puts it in his pocket. So my question to you, Richard, is sure. What do you need? What do your listeners need?
Well, we're about to find out. they need advice from you.
Okay, I got it.
You got it. So, Art, why don't we start with a bit about yourself? I always like to start off with sort of a historical question and everything rather than read out your bio. I've gotten to know you really over the last 6 years a bit, so I know a bit about your history. But tell our listeners a bit about you, Art. Go back a few years, too.
Well, the last 14 years, I was at the Winnipeg Chamber. I was a sales manager at the Winnipeg Chamber, a great organization. I'm a member of the Chamber. Both my companies are members of the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce. And I spent 14 years there working with business people, getting them to join the Chamber and come on board and helping them. So that's where I've been. And so now I'm on my own. I have my own businesses that I'm running and enjoying.
So, well, before we start talking a bit about your businesses that you own and enjoying, the things that you're doing there, I mean, I know you spent 14 years at the Chamber and everything, and no doubt that that's maybe helped you today. Prior to the Chamber, what were you up to?
In essence, I've really been in sales all my life. From a little kid to, you know, coming to Toronto, Toronto.
What's the first thing you sold, little kid?
First thing I probably sold was probably baseball cards and the like as a kid.
And like trading them or
trading
actually selling
them? Well,
them,
trading them, I guess, would be another way of saying.
Yeah. It's interesting what we do as young entrepreneurs because the first thing I really sold with my buddies, we built a haunted house. And we used to sell admission to our friends to come in.
Wow.
So that would, and that was a kid, you know, so that's why I was asking. I mean, there's always some interesting things and that. I think you're more of a salesperson than I am. But, you know, so you left the Chamber of Commerce,
about a year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago. And you've actually had to go through some transition from that.
Well, when I left the Chamber, I had a business already going called Instant Imprints in St. Vitale. So I had that for a year before I left the Chamber. So I got married. It was a new start in my life, And I decided it was a good time. I put in some great time in the chamber. I learned lots, great team of people and a great organization. But sometimes you just know it's time to make a move. And that's what I did.
Time to move on. Time to do something new in your life. You've had that. It's interesting because this could be a good topic for us to talk about because you've done that several times in your life, haven't you? Because wasn't one time you were involved in the real estate business?
Yes, I did real estate in Northeast Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And that was great. I loved it. You're always working and I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
But my family minded it a little bit.
A little bit more.
Yes, sir.
So if I was to ask you earlier on, usually I wait for later segments for this question, but if there was a lesson learned that you got from being in the real estate business, what would be a lesson learned from that business? I'm going to dip into all the different stuff you've done for lessons learned. So this is just one. What is one of the lessons learned you could...
Well, here's a great title of a book, actually, from a friend of mine named John Maxwell. And the title of the book is called Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn.
Okay.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I guess two things. Number one, in the real estate business, I would have bought more real estate at the time.
Okay.
For
why?
One. Well, interesting enough, when I was in real estate, I had my house, but I didn't buy any real estate. I saw some good opportunities, but I was trying to help others. So looking back, I would have bought some more duplexes because now when I went back to buy some many years later, they were twice as expensive.
Yes.
The same duplex. This is the same duplex across the street from the one that I bought. I sold to a friend of mine for half the price of what I had to buy it for. Looking back, I would have bought more real estate.
You would have bought more real estate.
It's interesting, though. Real estate agents, you know, you ask them, do they own any other houses? Many don't.
So they're more involved in the sales of the houses and making that transaction and then looking for the next transaction as opposed to accumulating other real estate products.
Yeah. So that's one for me. And then the second would be not to take your work home with you.
Okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break. And I think those are two good openers, right? That's sort of the idea of creating capital and not to take your work home with us. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success. I'm hanging out with my good friend, Art Alexander. And yeah, I do actually consider Art a good friend, but I suspect a lot of people think Art's a good friend. Well, you know, you're a people person, right? I mean, you know a lot of people in our business community. Would you agree with that statement?
I do. I mean, sometimes I struggle trying to remember my own name, but no, I do. And part of it is I think there's value in relationships, knowing people, not just knowing them, but somehow getting a little bit deeper. My kids would oftentimes tell me, Dad, forget the small talk. But I would tell my kids, small talk leads to something called big talk.
Yeah.
So I think that our community and our friends and our connections that we, either through the chamber or a BNI group or in your community clubs, or the Rotary, I think there's opportunity to make that impact in people's lives as you get to know them.
You know, I have to agree with you. I think as you get to know your community, one of the things I try to do is outreach to the community too and really support, if you listen to some of my shows, is really support the hidden gems that are within our business community and so that people are aware of them. And I think there's an incredible business community that we have here in Manitoba that people should be aware of. I want to go deeper into the relationship side, but I want to hold that for a later segment with you, if that's okay. You talked about earlier on in your career that you used to sell real estate, and one of the things that you wish you've done is years ago was to buy more real estate and that. So why would you have bought more real estate years ago than today, other than the fact that it's twice the price now? But what's your reasoning behind that? Because hindsight's 20/20, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
I might wear some reading glasses now, but I wish I could see in the past.
No, or in the future.
Or in the future, yes. Yeah. So in buying more real estate, they're not making any more land, for one, right? Land is what we got.
Yeah,
but the opportunity for young people even to say, how can I get that first home? I'm spending $1,300 on rent. How can I get my first home? And I used to help a lot of young people get their first home. And I think it's very important that people can see down the road, whether it's a rental property or having a home for their kids or whatever it might be, the opportunity is to grow your wealth and grow who you are.
Okay, so maybe that's where the opportunity is, because I know now as a man of a certain vintage, and certain maturity, you now have like three or four homes, right? And is that something you've done now in your future or present because of what you learned in your past and to actually, in terms of accumulate some capital, some wealth?
Right. And I think for young people, younger than you ourselves, that if they could see that that's one clear way to go is having real estate in their portfolio.
Yeah.
If they will. And they're not, sometimes people say, well, how can I really afford it? I think there's ways of doing it. And there's people out there that can help you get that real estate.
Is there, hopefully you don't mind sharing a little bit, is there a certain approach that you took later on to actually get into real estate? Because you raised your family, you paid your bills. I mean, you did all the things that, you know, it's easy to, as a family, right? Being a middle class family, we go there. You know, you're working, the paychecks are coming in, but you're paying for your house, your cars, you're paying for all the sports and everything, you know, your kids or whatever the events they're involved in. You know, it's expensive, right? You know, but was there ways that you were able to leverage and get real estate for yourself? Is there a method that you used or ones that you're aware of?
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of the big trips. I could say that. My kids went to private school, so somehow it seemed to work, Richard. And when you're in it, you think, how am I going to make this thing work?
Yeah.
But somehow the pieces all come together because you're talking, you know, you have a team of people. So you might talk to your bank or your mortgage broker or your lawyer and say, are there ways we can make this happen? And that's an important key fact, is having a team around you or associates that you can build ideas off of. So guys who are in the real estate business, for instance, or a lawyer or a banker or a, you know, investment guy or an insurance guy, you need to have these people around you who you can call and ask, or have them in your inner circle, if you will.
In your inner circle. So again, it goes back to the whole idea that relationships, because you talked about small talk creates big talk.
Yes, sir.
Creates big opportunity. Would you say that that's where you learned that lesson?
Yes, I would say so. And I learned many things at the chamber. I working with Dave Angus, who was the president of the chamber at the time, and the chairs that came through, from a Brian Sharfstein, the president of Canadian Footwear, to many others.
Brian. Yeah.
So I learned lots by involvement with them and sharing with them and being with them. And sometimes you're going to pick things up by osmosis, but sometimes you need to ask some questions.
You know, it's interesting you would say that, because recently I had the opportunity to hang out with a business friend of mine, and he's in transition, last 30 days. And I think he's got, you know, that 18 months to go or whatever, you know, that big change and that in business. And we were talking about that, and the best stories I was able, he asked me for advice, and the best stories I could tell him was not advice from me, but was conversations that I had with other people. You know, I was talking to, like you mentioned, Brian, right? And that I was talking to so-and-so and Tom, and he told me this, and I thought it was really good advice, you know? So sometimes that's where that comes from. Your time at Chamber of Commerce, I mean, I know you focus more on the sales and marketing side of the chambers. What were some of the key lessons learned? And this is a pretty big question. 14 years, what are some of the things that you learned that are helping you today, that you're able to apply today, that you got really working with the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, one would be community matters.
Okay.
And I think by being involved in the Winnipeg Chamber, you are involved in the community in that sense, because there are so many other avenues that come through the chamber. So community matters, and it makes a difference. And Winnipeg, I come from Toronto. I've been here in Winnipeg now 30 years.
You're more Winnipegger than I am. Then there you go. I did marry a Winnipegger, so maybe that counts for something.
Right, and I brought my wife from Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
But Winnipeg, you know, we might be in Vanity Fair or other big magazines, and people are having a shift, but Winnipeg is still a best-kept secret. We have so much going here for us that people should be shouting from the rooftops.
Yeah. What do you think are some of the things that are going for us? I mean, you can't make a statement like that without me asking what some of your thoughts are on that, because you've had the opportunity to be exposed both on the inner circle in terms of serving the community, but then also as an entrepreneur where you're running your own companies, right? So what are some of those things?
Yeah, organizations like a Futurepreneur is a great organization helping young people. Startup Manitoba. Not counting the fact that, you know, we have the zoo and the jets and the bombers and the museums and the symphony. We have all these things. As a matter of fact, I even have season tickets to the symphony now. My life is changing. The rough edges are coming off, Richard. I'm getting cultured.
Is that from your wife?
My dear wife, Betty, yes. Yeah. She's helping me get more cultured.
I was once told by a doctor that men who listen to their wives live happier, longer lives.
Here.
So you become more cultured and stuff, yeah.
So we have lots going on here, and I'm so thankful that I actually live in Winnipeg. I don't think I would want to live anywhere else. Yeah. Although Canmore sounds like a good place because my daughter just moved to Canmore. But other than that, I think Winnipeg is a great place.
We can talk about that afterwards. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back more with Art Alexander. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, and boy, I've been enjoying my show. We generally talk about what you need to do to be successful in business, career, and life. And today, my guest is Art Alexander. Art is a man known in Winnipeg in the business scene, and I think it's probably because of some of the things he's done. He's been connected to the business community, he's a master networker, and he's generally got to know the small, the mid-level enterprises and people even in larger organizations too. I always find that when I get together with Art, I learn something new. I learn something new about our economy. I learn something new about something that's going on. I learn something new about something that he's involved in that can make a difference in entrepreneurs' lives or business people's lives. So those are the real benefits. Those are the things. We get gems from other people that we're talking to, and I think Art would probably even agree with that. He'd probably say gems come from the conversations that you have. So when we return, we're going to continue our discussion with Art Alexander around some of the things you need to do, maybe in your business to get unstuck or find a direction, or maybe in areas of making some better decisions, or some of the things that you need to just do to be successful overall. So this is Richard Lannan. We're having a conversation today with Art Alexander, a serial entrepreneur and career entrepreneur, or career serial entrepreneur, whatever words we want to use. We'll get Art to tell us what they should be. So we're going to be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out here today with Art Alexander, former Chamber of Commerce sales and marketing type guy and manager. He would tell you exactly what it does, and also serial entrepreneur. And I'm putting him into the serial entrepreneur category because if you've listened to some of my other shows, a serial entrepreneur is a person who opens one business after another or has multiple businesses on are happening at one time. And Art, I'm guessing you're a serial entrepreneur.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love cereal too.
Yeah, I like cereal too. Spelled a little bit. Yeah. Spelled differently, but all good. Go ahead.
I have a couple businesses at the moment. Not necessarily even the real estate side of life.
Yeah.
But the two businesses are my Mountain Communications, or the Art Alexander and Associates. And you'll find me at artalexander.ca.
Just sliding that just in sliding now, in. Eh?
And we also own a company called Instant Imprints. St. Vitale.
Yeah. Now, how did you get into the Instant Imprints and St. Vitale business? So tell us the story behind that.
Well, this has happened to many people in our city, many business people. They saw an opportunity. And so the opportunity came along and I took it. And sometimes what happens is, you know, fear keeps people from doing many things that they should try or do. And I took the opportunity, and it's been just over 2 years now. And the staff seem to be enjoying it. We have a good culture there. We see products produced. It's exciting things.
Yeah, that's actually really great. So when you say opportunity presents itself, in what way did opportunity present yourself to get into this business?
Well, a friend of mine owns one, actually, and he said, "Art, here's an opportunity." But what happened? See, I was already working full time. I was already busy. I was already doing something. And so when the opportunity came to me, I didn't want to go through that door initially.
Okay. So what made you go through the door? Who pushed you? Who kicked you through the door, Art?
What really happened was I faced my fear.
Oh, you faced your fear.
And the fear of it not being successful, or, you know, losing my
money
for sure, losing what I thought people might say, hey, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
You know, so it really was a fear that was really holding me back. So, and for 2.5 years now, roughly, I've been facing my fears every day.
Yeah.
And we all have those fears, and sometimes you need to face them.
Yeah. So you had to face your fears to get into this business overall. I can't imagine, okay, so you're working full-time, and I know I'm trying to unravel this a little bit for you, but here's the way I'm thinking, Art. I know we have listeners out there right now who are working full-time, and some of them are sitting there thinking, you know, maybe I should buy that little coffee shop on the corner, or maybe I should buy those houses, or maybe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're having this conversation, I wish I had, right? I wish I had a small business that I owned, or you know, or maybe later. You know, they're doing those kind of things, you know? And so I'm always interested in what is it that gets you in? So what got you past your fear, right? I mean, you said you had some fear associated with this before you started off and you jumped in. What do you think sort of pushed you over the top?
Well, here's what happens, Richard. When people put their head on the pillow at night and they wonder, should I or shouldn't I? And when they get older and they're sitting in the old folks home, they said, oh, I wish I'd done.
Yeah, wish I had.
So, you know, we don't want to be like that. And your listeners really don't want to be like that. They want to be on the cutting edge and being successful. And sometimes being successful means taking that risk, a calculated risk, but you need to step out. So part of it was I faced my fear. I had a multitude of counselors, if you will, you know, associates in the sense of the lawyers and the people help, you know, give me some guidance. So you want to use their wisdom, and that is what really helped me. So having a team, that whole idea of team, Richard, is important to have around
you. It makes a big difference. You know, it's interesting. I had that conversation yesterday with a business associate of mine over coffee. And as you know, I'm an independent professional, right? I mean, I don't hide the fact and everything. But a lot of people think, well, you work by yourself. And that is the furthest from the truth, you know. And I told my friend this yesterday that he asked, right? And I said, you know, no, the truth is I have two lawyers. I have a chartered accountant. I have a bookkeeper. I have a virtual assistant. I have two editors, a copy editor and a content editor. And the list goes on. You know, I have a web designer and all that stuff, too. I have a team that actually helps me out with a lot of stuff. And I think that sort of gets missed, you know, on people. I think part of what you're talking about, though, is when you say counsel, you're also talking about mentors or friends around you that would help you along the way. Yeah. Is that part of that?
Yeah, totally. And see, at the Instant Imprint side of life, you know, my wife Betty is there.
Yes.
You know, she's there every day, and Brad is there every day, and we have a part-time person that comes in and out. So they are really the ones who run it. Sometimes I say, I'm just there for my good looks, Richard. So it's not there very long. But they are the ones that really run it. My other business is my Art Alexander and Associates, my speaking and training, and I'm a certified John Maxwell trainer, and that has really been helpful as well.
How do you mix both those businesses? Because you talked about you made a statement about ego, right? And you didn't use the word ego, but your ego can get in the way. You talk about fear, but you sort of said, well, what will people think if I'm in this business, right? So how do you deal with that sort of, I have this, you know, professional speakers business, trainer business. You're a John Maxwell type person, right? You work his products, but then you have this Instaprint business, and then you have this real estate business that you're running, right? And when I talk about real estate, you know, three or four properties and everything. So, I mean, we're sharing this openly. How did you deal with that in terms of your own personal ego?
I just wonder, is my accountant listening?
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, I think part is the makeup, my makeup of juggling things, and I don't always do it well, and sometimes I drop a ball here and there, but the idea of juggling things, that's part of who my makeup.
Yes.
And so the speaking and training side of life, that is, I've been doing that for many years now, and being associated with John Maxwell has been very good. The Instant Imprint side, as I said, you know, Betty and Brad are involved in that, so that's helpful. And even on the real estate side, there's less work now to do. I have some great renters. And here's what one of my renters said. She looked at me and her husband and the family said, Arch, you're the best landlord ever. And I'll tell you what I did quickly was, the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart, and they take the wine and the salt and the
bread. Yeah, right when they go out to the people or giving them homes.
So I thought, this is a great idea. So I got the wine and the salt and the bread, and I threw in some flowers, because even though Jimmy didn't do that, I did that. So I took it to them when they... The first week they're in my new place. They had never seen the movie.
Did you do the speech?
I had to do the speech because they had never seen the movie.
Yeah.
But the whole idea was I was thankful they took on the responsibility of being a renter.
Okay.
But that leads into something. The whole being a thankful person, a thankful landlord for those people coming in, but also in clients, whether it's in my speaking business or in the Instant Imprints side of life, is being thankful and encouraging and getting to our clients and the people who buy our products and our services.
Yeah, so I think that's actually quite important. I know that in terms of the speaking business, I've had many people say to me that they give gifts to their clients afterwards, and I think that's not a bad idea. You know, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you be thankful? This is Richard Land. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get a few more lessons learned from Art Alexander and his business experience. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out here with Art Alexander today, and Art Alexander is another one of those gems of a serial entrepreneur. You know, Art, during the break, you and I had the opportunity to chat about leadership a little bit, and you started saying you're into reading different things about leadership, and you started talking about the five myths, and I thought, hey, you know, that'd be really cool to sort of talk about the five myths of leadership. I hope I have the statement right. So tell us what those are.
Let me give you quickly, in one of the training sessions that we do, is this, the second law of leadership is the law of influence. And leadership is not the title. It's not a position. It's not the power. It's not stature. It's really about influence. It's not the corner office or the parking spot.
No, it's not, is it?
It's about influence. So here are the quickly, the five myths. The management myth is the idea that leading and managing are one and the same. Not so. The entrepreneur myth is entrepreneurs are skilled at seeing opportunities and going after them. That's true. Here's a myth. Knowledge myth. Knowing what to do and influencing others to do it takes on different skills, which is so true. The pioneer myth, you can get there first, but if no one's following you, you're not a leader. You're just out for a walk. And quickly, lastly, the positional myth is I have a title, I have the position, and people will follow. Well, we've seen that. It doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. One of my favorite videos on YouTube, leadership video, is actually a Happen Chance video, and it's about a group. It's a concert that's going on. It's out in the field and everything. Oh, yeah. And there's this one lone guy getting up and dancing, and nobody is dancing with him. And if anything, everybody thought he's probably crazy. But then this other guy gets up and starts dancing with him too. And then after that, everybody else gets up and starts dancing. And it's a very interesting lesson in terms of leadership, in terms of permission, because the second guy really basically referenced and said it was okay that what the first guy was doing, so everybody else followed. So who's truly the leader? Is it the first guy or the second guy? You know, it's a pretty interesting way to look at it.
In anybody's office, you can see it's not always a sales manager who is the leader or the supervisor.
Yeah.
It could be somebody else in the group. Right. So it's very interesting. It's all about influence. And who can we influence? We influence people every day. And so I want to kind of highlight that to you, saying even the whole networking side of life.
Yeah.
It's about influence.
How do you influence people in a positive way? So you talk about influence in terms of leadership. Well, what does that mean? Like, what is an influencer? And then what's an influencer as a leader? What is that?
Well, part of it is, When you've been to an event and, you know, Mr. Jones or Sally walks into the room, sometimes people can just light up the room.
Yeah.
Other people come into the room and they seem to suck all the life out of the room. You've experienced
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't like those people. Yeah, it's no fun.
There's a cloud around them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think we need to be, especially, and your listeners, Richard, the whole idea is set for success is to have the attitude and mindset, say, hey, we are winners. We have lots going for us.
Yeah. What are the hidden gems and what are the things that we have going for us that can make us even better in this world?
Yeah. The number one law in the law of leadership that we talk about in my training is the law of the lid and growing yourself. If you want to grow your business, you got to grow yourself first.
Yeah.
If you want your team to get better, grow them, and that will affect their sales. That will affect the community that you're having in your office or in your organization. So grow the lid. Raise the lid of who you are to grow your business.
Do you think that some people, you reach a certain level in leadership or in management or in your life, and that's as far as you're able to grow? What are your thoughts on that? Like the law of the lid, because there is that concept that you can actually promote or go beyond what your capabilities are and you're past your lid.
Well, if you think about the amount of time people spend, you know, either watching TV or going to the club or doing some other things when they could invest, you know, an extra hour a day. Right, improving who they are.
Yeah.
Whether it's watching the YouTube or it's going to, you know, listen to TEDx or going to those kind of
podcasts.
Sites or podcasts for sure. Yeah. Listening to your show, that's going to help them grow their
You're
lives.
You're such a nice guy.
But it's true. We need to be encouragers of people to start getting, but it's not just the knowledge, because there are a lot of university professors who have knowledge about business, but aren't in business.
Yeah, or can't implement.
Right.
There's a big difference between knowledge and implementation.
Yes, sir. So you got to have both, right? And if you don't have the knowledge, it's easy to get because there's libraries that are full of books and they're free.
Yeah, and there's tons of information on the internet that's out there free too. You just need to watch your references. That's all.
I took two books out of the library recently.
Oh, wow.
I know you can go online, you can do all that, but just by being in the library, I felt smarter. I just felt smart amongst all those books.
You look smarter too.
Yes.
Must be the glasses and the jacket and the corduroy jacket you're wearing. I'm just messing with you. I find the myths actually quite interesting because you talked about one of the five myths of pioneer. Was that the word you used?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is that again?
The pioneer myth is you can get there first, but if no one's following you,
yeah,
it's not, you're just out for a walk.
Yeah, you're just out for a walk.
Right? It's just like being a leader. If you're out there and no one's following you, you're just on a hike, man.
Yeah.
And the idea is to bring people with you.
Yeah. Are there any ways that you can bring people with you? Like if I was to ask you for one tip on how to bring people with you, what would you say?
Being inclusive, including like your team or your staff, your inner circle, and being transparent would be a good thing, right? Telling the good and the bad and the ugly. But bringing people along and sharing with them helps them to grow. Because as you share yourself, they're going to grow in themselves. And your team becomes tighter. Yeah, tighter team, it's going to be better.
It's interesting you would say that because I was doing another show with another serial entrepreneur. And we were talking about the importance of having a backstory. And what we meant by backstory was being authentic in who we are, like letting people truly know. Because in today's communication world, there's nowhere to hide. Right. I mean, you know, if you're not online, you're not considered to be anybody anymore. And if you are online, there's nowhere to hide. Right. So, you know, you have to be aware of that. And so you have to be aware of your own authentic self and having that backstory. If I know you mentioned this in another segment, but this is usually where I ask this question. Art, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
They can certainly find me on Facebook or LinkedIn for sure. On Twitter, it's at Art Alexander. You can even find me on Snapchat. That's right. I'm on Snapchat.
You're just such a
Art Alexander. You'll find me.
You'll find just sort of Google
Art Alexander 52.
Yeah, Art Alexander 52.
Right.
I hope that's a good number.
That's a good number. That's actually my football number. So now you know. That's a whole other story.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. I've been joking around with Art Alexander a little bit, and Art's very well known in the business community. You know what? We're going to take a short break, Art. When we come back, we'll sort of wrap things up. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, and what a show I've been having. You know, I've been hanging out with my business friend, Art Alexander. I always have a blast whenever I connect with Art, whether it's on my radio show or even we just get together for coffee in person. Great guy, has lots of thoughts, and can connect you to people. He's a connector of people. Art, if you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
I would think, Richard, the thought would be invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself. Okay.
Take time, to go to the library or take the seminar or take the course or go to Red River or the UW U of M and take a course
on webinars or whatever it might be.
Invest in yourself and grow yourself. Okay. And that might be through a coach like myself or like yourself or others in town, but grow yourself. And that's going to yield you great returns.
Great return on that. You know what, Art? Thank you for hanging out here with me today.
Thank you.
It's always a blast. I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in. I mean, I always like it when you connect with me. Obviously, you know how to connect with me. It's richard@setforsuccess.ca. If you have a thought or an idea for a show or even a question, just send me a note, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And as usual, please do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.